Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
One or two games ago, they took over. You could see that they took over, and they won the game.
The Rams. Because,
yeah, right, the Rams. They just took over in the second half, and they just went down the field. That's their best hope.
Here he is, AngeloCataldi.com. Make sure you check it out. I am so privileged to have you here with us. Okay, so last week I couldn't lead Angelo down the bad path. Angelo, have you taken an off-ramp here? After what happened on Sunday, are we going somewhere else now here on this Monday?
Dan, I'm only on because I lost that bet. This is not my week. Understand?
Yes.
I'm going to go right into a hospital and get treated for exhaustion after this. I don't work this much.
Oh my God.
What happened yesterday, boy, did you nail it. This whole narrative right now about Hurts and Brown, it's not about them. It's about the coaching. It's about the fact that the coaches can't call plays to make them happy enough so they feel like they're contributing to another potential Super Bowl season. You said it. I don't even need to come on this show. The training wheels, Dan. The training wheel. You've got Petullo. In what world do you take the best running back in the NFL and give him 6 carries in an entire football game? So you got his 6 carries, then Hurts, he only ran twice for 3 yards, all right? 36 total yards running from 2 of the most dangerous runners in the NFL, right? So you say to yourself, well, clearly, you got to give the other coach credit, all right? Clearly, the other guy took that away. He got rid of it. Sean Payton went, I'm not going to let those guys beat me. Well, then, there must be a motherload of opportunity when you're throwing the ball. There must be amazing openings. If they've got a guy shadow, I don't have to tell you this, they've got a guy shadowing the quarterback so he can't run. That means they're a linebacker down out there. Somebody's wide open in the middle of the field. I design plays to get it to him. Scheme so these guys can find some open ground. Nothing. That was total malpractice by a coaching staff. And then that jackass Sirianni comes after and goes, hey, you know what? They were better at the details in the fourth quarter than we were. What details? You got the best runner in football. Give him the frigging ball. And why don't you get somebody you can block so he can find a hole to get in? He's the same runner. He had one good run yesterday. You saw he still has that ability. You're not giving him the opportunity to use it. Dan, that was an awful coach game. Awful. I mean, Sean Payton took those boys to school in the second half yesterday. Took them to school. Showed them how to coach a football game. How to take advantage of stuff. How to adjust. Adjust to what you're seeing. First 8 drives, Denver, first 8 drives, 3 points, 7 punts. And then the last 3 drives, 2 touchdowns, a field goal, and a 2-point conversion right up and down the field. You know what they did? They adjusted. They took advantage of it. They adjusted. The Eagles didn't do that.
Even Vance Joseph, I thought, just absolutely coached the crap out of Kevin Petullo in that second half and Nick Sirianni here. So I'm going to ask you then, if they can't, they're not capable of putting a game plan together with balance. You know, I kind of saw a little bit of it in the first. They were leading, you know, AJ had like 40, Smitty had like 60. There was like 30 some odd yards rushing. Hurts was hitting people. And I was like, all right. And they were up in the game. Right. All of a sudden in the second half, they just came out and just stopped doing everything here. So let me ask you, Angelo, do you think that coaching staff trusts Jalen Hurts? And do you think Jalen Hurts trusts that coaching staff? Do you think that's where the problem lies right now? Because to me, I got to feel this. If you're constructing a game plan, Angelo, if you're putting a game plan like that, the way you put it, there's no way you trust your quarterback if you're not putting balance in it. I don't believe they do.
I'll say that. There's two answers to that. They have to trust him. They won a Super Bowl with the guy, and he won it for them. He was brilliant in those games. He was improvising great moments in those games. They have to have faith in him. Does he have faith in them? No. He's had a different offensive coordinator every year. Hey, he goes from good to bad, good to bad, good to bad. Steichen, good. Johnson, bad. Then he comes back last year with Moore, really good. Petullo, training wheels. No. No, Dan. He's looking around going, what the hell is going on here? Why can't they get me a good play caller who knows football, who understands the NFL, and will take the most talented offensive roster in the game and maximize their skills? When you score 17 points, I know the Broncos are not the 1985 Bears. They're not that good defensively. No. They're good, but they're not really. When you score 17 points at home against that team, shame on you. Shame. They should have won the game anyway. They should have scored 28, 30 points, 32 points. They should have won the game. But the play calling was and the fourth quarter, my God, what was that? They had one play that worked.
160 yards.
One, the bomb to Brown. And Brown, there was a miscommunication. Brown broke stride for a second. And that would have been a touchdown.
160 yards in the fourth quarter by the Broncos. The Eagles managed 22 and 18 points in the fourth quarter. So do you think they're afraid of hiring high-powered offensive coordinators because it will undermine the head coach?
They just did it. They did it with Moore.
But Moore, you got to remember one thing with Moore, he had some dents in the fender because he had been fired by Dallas and he had been fired by the Chargers or replaced by the Chargers. So he wasn't going to be a threat to go in there and like a Kingsbury would have been. I mean, if you get a high-powered guy in there, he's going to want control of the offense.
Moore had control of the offense. Moore was not being overruled by Sirianni last year.
So you think Petullo is this year?
Petullo is his Bobo. They are the same person. Do you understand? They are one and the same. When Petullo is talking to them, it's just the same thing as Sirianni talking to them. Because Petullo he is a yes man for the yes man. All right? Sirianni is a yes man for his bosses. Petullo is a yes man for Sirianni. The problem is Sirianni and Petullo don't know what they're doing. If you couldn't see that yesterday, a moron could call better plays than Petullo has for the talent on that field.
The wildest wildest game I've ever seen called in my life. When you had the lead, you just stopped running the ball. And you had three and outs, and you lead the NFL in three and outs. Do you believe what I said prior to you coming on, that the wedge between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts is because the coaching staff has put that wedge there?
Well, no, I want to go back for a second to something you just said because it's critical and nobody's picking it up. All right, three and outs, three and outs, three and outs.
Lead the NFL.
All right, but those three and outs in the fourth quarter, you understand how they empowered the Broncos? You got an 83-degree day, right? Those guys are on the field 35 minutes or so in the course of that game. There was a real imbalance in possession. Every time you go three and out, you're putting those monsters, those big 330, 340-pound guys, back out on the field to suck wind for another 10-play drive. The offensive play calling very seriously hurt the defense yesterday.
Yes. Yes.
Very serious. But, you know, nobody puts the two together. Well, the defense wasn't very good in the final drive. Well, they weren't very good because they were on the field almost the whole quarter. If the offense was sustaining a few drives and giving them a chance to catch their breath.
It's Chip Kelly-ish.
Yeah, it's bad. And Dan, that's the whole point. When you have a bad play caller, which they obviously do now but won't acknowledge it yet, it hurts both sides of the ball. It hurts everyone. And you saw it yesterday against a good defense. Not a great defense, a good defense. I don't see how they're going to be able to navigate against, you know, when they get to the bigger games, against good defenses with that guy calling the plays, or calling the plays with Sirianni, who's already acknowledged he's not good at it. It's a stupid way to run a team that has the best roster.
Do you feel a little bit of 2023 coming?
Very much. Yes. I was experiencing that in the fourth quarter yesterday, because they were 4-0. And I was coming on here last week and I'm going, how can I rip them? They won 20 out of 21. Well, this blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. You knew in 2023 that the Eagles were a paper tiger, that they were vulnerable against a good team and would get unmasked. You could see it when they were 10-2. You could see it. I went on San Francisco radio and I said, this will not be a close game. The Niners will win easily. And they did. And the Eagles lost all but one game the rest of the season. And I'm seeing a similar kind of thing now, because the coaching is not good enough. We know these players are good enough. We know they can compete a lot better than they did in the second half yesterday. So what happened? The coaches blew it. They just blew it. And I, to this day, even though Ruben Frank has already been announced, he's going to give the speech when Sirianni goes into Canton. You know, when he goes into the Hall of Fame, Ruben Frank will be, he'll have like lots of stats. They say, like, this guy's unbelievable. Oh my God. No one's done this since Vince Lombardi. You know, that kind of crap. But the fact of the matter is, Sirianni has just, he's been very lucky. And the luck ran out yesterday. I don't know if we won't see it Thursday. The Giants stink. But you'll see it against good teams, especially good teams with good coaches.
Yeah, but you know what? Coaches. You know what, though, Angelo? If you would have told me the first five games of the year that the Broncos would have been the one to beat them,
yeah,
I would have said you were crazy. So yeah. I think this has got a lot of feel of losing against bad teams and decent teams, because of what you just said. You lead the league in three and outs, and you're giving up 5 yards a carry. Teams are going to roll back in on you like they did in the second half in that game yesterday. So,
Dan, how do you lead the league in three and outs with all that talent?
Incompetent game plan.
There's no other. You lead the league, all these awful teams, and you have more three and outs than all of them? Somebody's not calling very good plays. There's talent everywhere. Everywhere.
Do you think the Eagles overcorrected and that's what this was? And do you put a little of the blame on A.J. Brown for calling the coaching staff out? No. Even Devontae came out. There was a bunch of guys. How do you look at the noise now after the fact, after an L with A.J. Brown?
The essence of coaching is managing personalities. You understand? A.J. Brown is always going to be a pain in the ass, because A.J. Brown is a selfish football player. A.J. Brown.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Looks at the stat sheet at the end of the game, and he looks at his catches and his yardage before he looks at the final score. He plays for himself. This is not unique in the NFL, especially at the wide receiver position. It's fine. The guy is great. You gotta find a way to use him and maximize his ability. So, yeah, no, I don't blame him. I don't blame Hurts. Those guys are basically victims right now of poor coaching. If they were being coached the way they were last year with Kellen Moore, they would have way more points, way more yardage. They'd all be happier. And honestly, they'd probably be 5-0. Although those other four games, they could have lost any one of those four too.
Absolutely.
They haven't been good in any game yet.
How about this, Angelo? 5 weeks, they found their identity last year. Right now, they're still searching for it, and they really don't know what they're doing, and they really don't know what that is. Are they going to run the ball? Are they not going to run the ball? Do you think that this time, do you think Nick Sirianni has the answers? Unlike he didn't have the answers in 23. Well, what makes him believe he's going to have the answers this year?
There's a term we use in Philadelphia that's really unique to our city, and it perfectly fits Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni is the essence of a smacked ass. You understand? he is a smack. Let me give you an example of what
kind
of
here, please.
Let me explain to you what kind of a smacked ass Nick Sirianni is. So in the fourth quarter, and look, they did not get the benefit of some calls in the fourth quarter. I'll be the first one to tell you. Yep. That Goddard play, that you realize in 19 states, that's officially assault and battery. They put you in jail for that. And they didn't throw a flag past interference.
The
grounding was a grounding. Don't give me that crap. That was a grounding. All right. Yeah. And he on the sideline is freaking out like a maniac because that's who he is. He's very emotional, right? Charmingly so, actually. Very emotional. Now he comes out for the news conference and they go, hey, Nick, what'd you think of officiating that game? Officiating never affects the game. Never affects the game. I have learned from the years of coaching, it always balances out. So I went back and looked because I'm, you know, kind of an amateur lip reader.
And yeah, okay.
Looking when he was screaming at the officials, I was looking to see if I could see the words balance it out. You're balancing it out. He didn't. Then he wasn't saying that at all. He is full of it. Do you understand? Why hold a news conference to lie? You were upset. Why can't you share how you saw the play? You're that worried about, he's making what, $7-8 million now a year, whatever the hell he's making. You're worried they might fine you if you tell the truth about what you saw? Then don't hold a friggin' news conference because I know you're lying. The games are televised. I get to see you on the sideline. You can't tell me I didn't see what I saw. It's right there.
I'm with you here.
He has no, Dan, he has no answers. The man, he won a couple of lotteries. He's driving around now in a Rolls Royce. But ultimately, the guy who's chauffeuring him around is Mr. Magoo, Kevin Petula.
So oh my God.
It's not going to end well. It's not going to end well.
Do you think Barkley's hurt?
No. Barkley is not hurt. His feelings are hurt because they only gave the ball six times in a whole friggin' game. My feelings were hurt. I'm just a fan.
No, I kept at, on our post-game show, I was like, why did they just stop running the ball? Help me out on that. You had the lead. You scored first. Why would possess you to just get away from that? Who told you that? Who in their right mind would even suggest that?
Well, let me, I follow this stuff. Even though I'm retired, I just keep following. Nick explained all that in depth in his highly illuminating news conference. Well, I have to go back and look at it. But I
really
think we were behind the sticks quite a bit.
You were up 15.
No, he's saying there were penalties and stuff from Toth and those stiffs he's been using on them. Those backup linemen, by the way, stink.
Oh my God!
Did they let Becton go,
man?
Why? I mean, those guys stink.
They were terrible.
That Toth is bad. Oh my God! That's who you got? Give me a break. Get somebody who can block.
Will this thing get turned around in the right way, or do you think this thing's headed in a bad direction?
Well, I said this before, and I'll say it again. It's going to depend on when Hurts takes upon himself the role of calling the right plays at the right times. He didn't do it yesterday, all right? Hurts knows by now what works on that offense, and one or two games ago, they took over. You could see that they took over and they won the game.
The Rams. Because,
the Rams. They just took over in the second half and they just went down the field. That's their best hope because if he's waiting for the Bobo to to call the right plays. It'll be 1990, it'll be 2026, and there'll be another offensive coordinator there. Petullo's one and done. I could already tell you that.
Do you think they'll make an in-season change?
Wow, that's, you know, how much more obvious does it need to be?
It doesn't.
Right? I mean, but they won't announce it. Let me just say, they'll keep this one internal because this will look real bad again that they did the same thing twice. They did it with Johnson, and now they did it with Petullo. But, Dan, you didn't have to be even intelligent to see this Petullo. I told you before the first game, this would be a recurring theme of this season because he's a novice, and he's calling plays for a Super Bowl champion. That right there is ridiculous. Right there. Nothing else said. You've got the Rolls Royce, and you've got a driving trainer guy trying to drive it. It's not going to work.
What does Jeffrey Lurie, you think of this noise?
Wow, that's fascinating. They only showed him once in the game. He was there with his buddy Bradley Cooper.
I saw that.
In fact, at one point, if I'm not mistaken, Jeffrey was getting a little frisky with his wife there for a second.
An eagle eye of Paisan could see that.
I don't know. I think it was when they went up 17-3 and they just scored a touchdown. And Jeff's there with his wife and Bradley Cooper. And Jeff is on top of the world. 5-0. Oh, we're unbelievable. They never showed him again. I guess that's the way the NFL now, you know, doesn't upset the billionaire owners. You don't want to get them upset and show them when they're losing. But if he's not upset, he should be. How much is he paying Barkley? How much you get him to freaking
million.
Ball?
20 much, million.
Well, then, you know, I would go, 20 million. That's a million a game. I think I might want to get him more than 6 carries. I'm thinking, since, you know, he led the league at 2,000 yards last year, maybe I'll get him more than 6 carries next time. Is that okay? You want it, Petullo? This is what I would be doing if I was Larry. I'd say this, Nick. I'd say, Nick, you want a Petullo. How the hell did you end up with 6 carries for the best runner in football? How'd you do that? And then hopefully he would, you know, Sirianni would throw himself on the mercy of the court. And he would say, don't worry, boss. That'll never happen again. I'll make sure that never happens. But I don't care where the sticks are. We're going to have to give that kid the ball a lot more.
Angelo, what is Howie Roseman's role going to be moving forward in this?
Well, Howie Roseman has to, the first thing, Howie's got to do some explaining of his own.
He does.
Because he lost Becton, and he did not replace him with anybody that can
Milton
block.
Williams, Josh right? Sweat, and, none of them guys were replaced.
And Landon Dickerson just got injured again during this conversation we're having. Because it's about a 15-mile-an-hour wind today. And that'll be enough to dislodge one of his ligaments. That guy, all that guy does is limp off the field. Every friggin' game, he limps off the field. Either he's hurt, put him on the IR for a while. Why are you putting him out there if every game and by the second quarter you need a replacement?
Because Howie, you see the replacements.
Well, Howie did not do enough
to
reinforce that offensive line. And I'll tell you something. Lane Johnson's a year older. I don't think he's playing as well.
He's not.
Cam Jurgens is not having a good start to this season at all. Dickerson's always hurt. And Maiolata, I've never been as big a fan of Maiolata as other. I think he's good.
Denver's ends won that game. Denver's ends won that game against those two guys.
Yeah, they did. So, I mean, Howie shouldn't be pointing fingers at anybody but himself there. He left some real big holes. And, you know, he's smart. He's a great GM. He's got to go out and get a couple of guys. Seriously, before the trade deadline, he's got to get a couple of linemen in here to fix that.
Okay, so I'm going to go off the Eagles for a second, and I have to ask you about James Franklin. I want you to help me out on this. So for the first time in 42 years,
right,
a top 10 team
right.
goes and loses to an 0-4 UCLA football team. He's 4-21 versus top 10 teams at Penn State. I'm going to leave all the BS stuff out of the conversation here, but I'll tell you this. As a football person, that ain't Joe Paterno. How in the world does that guy keep his gig? I mean, do you replace him at the end of the year? Mm-hmm. Do you just go along and lose big games and beat Rutgers and Iowa and those teams? Or do you really want to be? Penn State has too much talent, Angelo.
Dan, what happened Saturday is what gets people fired.
Right? Yeah.
A team with no wins coming into your – no, it's Dan, he's – I don't know the inner workings of Happy Valley, right? I know that they completely bungled the whole Sandusky thing beyond belief, completely. Right? And left victims everywhere. So I don't know if they're proactive enough to go, well, this guy is not – he's not good enough, right?
But he's safe.
I'll say this. Give me a choice. James Franklin or Nick Sirianni? James Franklin, every time.
Wow!
Every time. And twice on Saturday.
You'll take James Franklin over Nick Sirianni.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. All right. You've been right on this one, too. I'll tell you what. That old thing you had a year ago with your prediction on wins, I don't know. You're making a pretty strong rebound here, and you're kind of like Rodman at the rim right now, grabbing all the rebounds here. So, Rob Thompson and the Phillies, man. I mean, where are you with the Phillies here now?
Well, okay. It took me all this time. On the brink of Thompson getting fired, I realized that his first name is Rob, and all you have to do is add OT to it, and you got Robot Thompson. Which it took me too long. See, the brain doesn't work as fast as it used to. I would have had this 4 years ago.
Is that why Rhea was in the room with you just so she could make sure?
Yeah, Rhea. My one hope would be Rhea would tell me, why don't you try Robot? It might work here. Robot Thompson on Saturday night. This guy is so locked in on pitch counts and blueprints for every game that he never, ever reacts in the moment. So he figures out that he's got to get Matt Strom to face Shohei Ohtani in the sixth inning, seventh inning, all right? That's his matchup. Now, how does he get there? Well, he's got Dave Robertson, all right, 40 years old, who just came back in August and has never – ended an inning, going in, come back out. Hasn't done it. He's 40 years old. His things tighten up, whatever. But he's got to get two batters to get to Ohtani. So he decides. He explained the whole thing after the game. Well, Dave's pitch count was low. Oh, he loves pitch count. Dave's pitch count was low. So I knew he could handle the next two batters. Well, the next two batters got on base. So now he's got his matchup with Ohtani, but there's runners on first and second, no outs. Here he goes. Let's get Strom in here. Strom handles Ohtani. Strom even handles Betts, who's a really good hitter against lefties. But he's still got to deal with Teoscar Hernandez. I swear, as God is my witness, I was watching it and I went, I know what's coming. I could see this happening because Hernandez is a great clutch hitter. Great. Boom. 400-footer, right center field, game over. And the whole reason was that Rob Thompson had blueprinted Matt Strom versus Shohei Ohtani and didn't see anything else going around. And admitted it after the game. He admitted, that was the matchup I was planning for. But you've got to react to what is happening in front of you. And there's a reason why he didn't get a managing job till he was 57.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't think quickly and he doesn't have confidence in his conviction, Dan. And you could see it in the dugout. He can't. So I'm hoping the one silver lining here is I don't think the Phillies are going to win this series. I didn't think they were anyway. But the one silver lining is that should be it for Robot Thompson.
I got a guy for you. And he wants the job. And brand new ownership is coming in. And he is having a meeting with Patrick Zalupski with the Rays. Okay. And his name is Kevin Cash.
Oh.
He's a two-time American League Manager of the Year. He has taken pennies and dimes and quarters and everything and has manipulated 90-plus wins every single year in the American League East and competed and contended to win that division. Right. Andrew Friedman was the general manager of that team at one time. He's now the Dodger general manager. Angelo, when you have an open checkbook, look at what he's doing with the Dodgers. Could you imagine what Kevin Cash would do with Dave Dombrowski if you were able to get that guy all the resources on what he could do with the Phillies? He wants to manage somewhere, and the parameters are going to be that he can't manage in the American League East. He's going to leave the rest of the money on the table, and he wants to go and do a Joe Maddon. What do you make of him taking over the Phillies?
I don't often come on to criticize the host, but Dan, you're aiming way too low. I think Kevin Cash should coach the Phillies and the Eagles. He's way smarter than either of these two guys. All right. Kevin Cash is a great manager. You understand? And he would, believe me when I tell you, in the moment, he would know to go instinctively rather than just by the blueprint. He would be able to get so much more out of that team than Thompson's been able to. But I said it about Franklin. I'll say it about Kevin Cash. Probably has never coached in his life in football. I take him over Sirianni.
Oh my God!
I'll start him as offensive coordinator. He could replace Petullo, then take Sirianni's job next year.
So you again at the end of this right here?
Yeah.
You're telling me you don't think this ship gets righted, and this is headed for the 23.
There's one chance, and that's for Hurts to take over 90% of the authority of that offense the way he did against the Rams and take it upon himself. Because the people that are advising him on what to do do not know how to do their jobs. I don't care what Ruben Frank's stats say. I don't care about the impending Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I'm telling you, those guys, if you're watching these games, Dan, you played the game. You know the game. If you're watching the game, you know that when they get in against the Sean Payton, they are in trouble because that's a good coach. Sean Payton knows what he's doing.
No doubt about it. I mean, hey, if there's one question I'd like to ask Doug Peterson from you.
Oh, right.
I got him on at 3:30 tomorrow, so I'm going to ask him at 3:30. I'm going to go around the room here, man. I go, how much was it with Press Taylor, what got you knocked out, the Jalen Reagor decision, who was really the call? Because I just hear these stories out there that are in the ether. I want to know what happened and why this guy's exit, because I heard that they were going in on a Monday and everything was going to be just about what, you know, the next year was going to be. And by the end of the week, Doug Peterson was out. So, I want to know all that stuff. Yeah. I want to know how he got knocked out of the window.
Dan, if you want to, I don't know if you'll answer it, but I know the exact right question to ask Doug Peterson. Did it surprise you, Doug, that the Eagles, after winning a Super Bowl, gave Nick Sirianni the honor, the right to name his own offensive coordinator and his own assistants when they didn't give you that opportunity? Why do you think it is that guy got to pick Petullo, got to pick Johnson before this, even before he'd won a Super Bowl, and you didn't get to pick Press Taylor and the guys that I think? He was too assertive. Doug was too assertive. Doug told them when he thought they were wrong. Doug was not a yes man. Doug was probably not even all that diplomatic, because Doug knew that the owner didn't really know that much football. And I don't know what was going on with him and Howie. I'd like to think he had respect for Howie. He should have. Howie's a very good GM. But Doug Peterson got fired. He was the first Eagle coach that won a Super Bowl and got fired 3 years later because he wanted to bring in his assistants and they wouldn't let him. And they let Sirianni do it twice, especially this last time, right after he won a Super Bowl.
You think that was a backhanded slap to Doug?
Of course it was. And he took it that way. And here's the thing. Doug may dodge that question because he's trying to get another job somewhere, right?
Yeah.
but I don't know if he will.
I'll phrase it in a way that...
No, I'm telling you, Dan, that's the most honest guy in coaching I ever talked to. 33 years. I asked the question, he answered it. When he thought he made a mistake, he announced it to the world. He just told him. So I would love to know if he would address that, because I know inside
what he's saying is,
why the hell did they give that jackass all that latitude when they didn't give it to me? You know, Doug's resume in football is better than Sirianni's in my estimation.
You think he's the better coach, of course, right?
Do you have a dog?
Yes, I do.
What's the dog's name?
Stevie.
Stevie?
Stevie.
Your dog, I would pick before I pick Petullo and Sirianni. Your canine.
He's a little tiny. He's a little tiny shit dog. Okay.
I think he's pretty bright.
My guess is
he could design plays better than Petullo is.
Man, so you're telling me when Doug went in there, they wanted to fire Press Taylor. This is what
that
got Dungy fired.
That's why they fired him.
When Dungy went to the Glazers and said he wanted to keep Clyde Christensen, right? And the Glazers went like this. No, we want you to get a higher-powered offensive coordinator in. But they already had a plan that they were going to go and trade for John Gruden. So they used that to get the leverage to push Tony Dungy out, and that's how Dungy got the Colts job.
Right.
So do you think, again, that was a way to push Doug out, was the Press Taylor thing?
Ironically, they were right. Press Taylor's stock. Press Taylor went to Jacksonville with Doug, he sucked. He was not a good offensive coordinator. There's only some certain people that know how to do that job, know how to dial up the right plays.
Agreed.
They're really good at it. And Press Taylor wasn't the answer either. But, you know, he had earned
it. Yeah, but Doug wanted him. Doug fought for him.
Doug desperately wanted him, and Doug lost his job over it. So, yeah, Doug has to look at the situation now at Sirianni and go, why did he get what I didn't get? We both won Super Bowls. Why did he get that? I didn't get it.
I want to sneak one last one in on you here with Carson Wentz. So how come I'm looking at almost the same inability to be able to develop Jalen Hurts? Last year, they didn't give a crap on – they were 29th in passing last year. This year, they're 31st in passing. I mean, what – aren't you seeing kind of the same things a little bit with
not even close with
coordinators?
Hurts will be fine, Dan. Hurts is not a problem. Did you see the deep balls he was throwing in the first half?
Yeah, I did. Oh,
beautiful, beautiful. He runs, just give him the right plays.
So this is on Nick.
It's total. Jalen Hurts has never been a problem. He's a great leader. He's a terrific player. He's got a great skill package. He's not a problem. And Brown is a problem, but he's a problem a coach has to know how to manage. And right now you're seeing problems with the coaching.
Would you trade AJ?
No. Under no circumstances. I don't care. Sit on the bench. I'm not trading you. No.
Even after the year? And even after this season?
Probably not. I mean, for this season right now, I couldn't get anybody half as good as
him. No way.
And then why am I getting rid of him? I'm trying to defend the Super Bowl championship. I got to have him. He's got to do it. I can just kiss his ass a little. You know, have him go with Sirianni up to the bosses over there and watch how Sirianni kisses their ass.
Go on the yacht.
Maybe he'll learn that way. You know,
go on the yacht, right? Go on the yacht.
That's it. Go buy another yacht, Jeff. It's about time again.
Oh, my God. Angelo, great stuff. Make sure you guys check out AngeloCataldi.com. Okay, wait a minute. I got one last one here for you. If they lose again, will you be too exhausted to do Monday?
Oh, I am not. You even put me on longer today. Right now, I got my wife warming up the car. We're going right to the emergency room. Exhaustion.
You got to get a defibrillator.
Twice in 1 week. Have you lost your mind? I'll see you again around Thanksgiving, buddy. Get out of here.
Angelo, love you, man. I'll see you down the line here, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate it.